Happy World Communion Sunday. This is the day upon which Christians around the world recognize our unity in Christ across space and time. This is the day that we all remember Christ as the head of the table, the host of the party, the source of our physical and spiritual nourishment. The tradition of World Communion Sunday was introduced in 1933 by Hugh Thompson Kerr, who is a Presbyterian minister from Pittsburgh. His goal in introducing this tradition was to promote unity and ecumenical cooperation among churches, and there must have been a great hunger for this because by 1940, it was adopted by the Federal Council of Churches and continued to grow worldwide. It's funny that on World Communion Sunday, I am here for the first time at the pulpit, and it is so soon after a summer in which I've been thinking a lot about the Eucharist. As part of my reading and thinking and praying about this, I asked my 13-year-old son Luke, who is a font of wisdom, about his own experience with communion. I have permission to share with you that he said, "The bread's good." In our scripture text this morning, Paul shares what we commonly call the words of institution. He writes that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." For many Christians, the words of institution that I just read reflects an essential part of the Christian doctrine and their Christian life. The suffering of Christ on the cross can offer us all solace in times of our own suffering. Historically, Jesus' death on the cross reflects the natural progression of the ancient Near Eastern tradition of animal sacrifice in exchange for absolution of sins. Jesus Christ has for many served as the once and for all substitute for the ritual sacrifice required by Jewish law. Theologically, Marcus Borg suggests that Jesus' death on the cross is the final sacrifice to fulfill Jewish law and serves to offer us lasting assurance that God has already taken care of what we think separates us from God. We engage in these rituals of communion on a regular basis. Some churches practice daily, weekly, or many, like in this church, practice communion once a month. These rituals that we engage in, according to scholar Richard Damaris, should be different from our routines or thoughtless habits. Rituals to be considered as such involve the whole body and should reflect an enacted faith. This embodied faith is what I think that the prophet Isaiah is looking for in our text. Isaiah's complaint on behalf of God is that the rituals in the temple had become thoughtless habits, transactional in nature, a take care of myself, BYOB event, that's bring your own bull, leaving nothing for temple goers except, as Isaiah said, blood on their hands. But when we look at it more closely, we must see that Jesus comes to our communion table as more than just the main dish, more than the symbolic sacrificial lamb. Jesus Christ, in his life and death, offered a new radical vision of relationship with God and with each other. Jesus had a sense of connection with God that was so deep, he called God Abba, which is an intimate form of the word Father. This was unusual in his time, some even said offensive. Remember that the God of Moses and the Hebrew people was so exalted that God's name couldn't be uttered and God's face could not be seen. Yet Jesus called him Dad. Jesus' love for God extended to Jesus' people and God's people. Jesus resisted the pervasive norms of his time, which focused on honor or shame. With his last shall be first and first shall be last ideology, Jesus turned the ideals of his world upside down. In his relationships with those who were considered undesirables in his time, he naturally lived a life of resistance to the oppressive forces of Roman and Jewish law, even to the point of death. Jesus brought his whole body, his whole self, to his relationship with God and God's people. Paul's text this morning expands on Jesus' life and teaching. Church meetings in Paul's time were often held in someone's home, perhaps a church member with a house large enough to hold everyone. This suggests that the host of the meeting had resources, because in Corinth at the time, most people were thought to be living at or below subsistence level, without homes of their own or even enough food to eat. In Roman society, the homeowner host became a kind of patron to the church meeting. They got to decide who sat at the head of the table, who ate first, etc. And in our text this morning, Paul was upset because the wealthy ones ate first, leaving nothing for the other community members, some of whom the only real meal they would have that week was at that meeting. Paul, like Jesus, turned the system upside down. He told the Corinthian church that Jesus is the host of this meal, and any honor and all power go to Jesus. He said, "But when you come together, you don't really come to eat the Lord's Supper. If you're so hungry and can't wait, eat before you come to this meeting. For God's sake, save some food for the poor." In our scripture text today, both Isaiah and Paul tell us to come to worship with an open heart and a deep desire for relationship with God. Make yourselves clean, not by offering substitute sacrifices, not by marginally sharing your blessings, but by bringing your whole body and with it doing good, seeking justice, and rescuing the oppressed. In his book, The Spirit and Art of Conflict Transformation, Tom Porter suggests to us that the communion table is central to his work in peacemaking. He says that when we come to the table where Jesus is host, we affirm that it is God who offers us spiritual nourishment and healing. We acknowledge that God is in control, not us. When we come to the table seeking peace, there's a kind of equalizing that takes place among us. We all need to receive healing grace. We all seek a sense of mercy for the harms that we have done to ourselves and to each other. We all seek a place where we can address the issues that divide us from God and from each other. When we come to this communion table, we stand close and we see each other. Here we also see our host Jesus, who demonstrated throughout his life that God loves, accepts, and needs all of us as we are, no matter how undesirable we may sometimes feel. Isaiah and Paul challenge us to do good, seek justice, look hard at your own part, resist oppressive forces from without and from within, rescue and offer healing to others who are oppressed. BYOB now becomes bring your own blessing, then share it with others. Our early Christian teachers taught us to see that Jesus is the one whose death made atonement for our sins. But don't stop there, because Jesus is more than that. Keep looking. You may come to see Jesus for who he is in this life and in the life to come. Host of the table, equalizer, peacemaker, healer, and strength lender. Jesus comes to the table with us as co-sufferer, co-resister, and by the grace of God and the help of the Holy Spirit, co-resurrector. God knows the world needs this. For all of this, we come together and give thanks. The bread is good. Let's eat.